have two readings I'm going to start this morning with. One of them you'll be very familiar with. The other is a quote that I think is really interesting and pertinent for our conversation today. The scripture comes from Genesis chapter 1, the very first creation story. And this is near the end of that creation story. It's verses 24 through 27. And I'm reading from the Inclusive Bible. Hear now these words. Then God said, "Earth, bring forth all kinds of living soul, cattle, things that crawl, and wild animals of all kinds." And so it was. God made all kinds of wild animals and cattle and everything that crawls on the ground. And God saw that this was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image to be like us. Let them be the stewards of the fish and the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, the wild animals, and everything that crawls on the ground." Humankind was created as God's reflection. In the divine image of God, God created them. Female and male, God made them. Maybe add meaning, understanding to the reading of these words. Now I'd like to share a quote with you, and I'll give you a warning. If anyone is sensitive to strong language, there is one word in here that might be a little offensive. This comes from a Forbes magazine interview with Brené Brown, who is a research professor at the University of Houston. She's a social worker and author, just a brilliant writer and insightful person in general. I encourage you to check her out if you're not familiar with her. In this interview with Forbes magazine, she had this to say. "We're in a spiritual crisis. The key to building a true belonging practice is maintaining our belief in inextricable human connection. That connection, the spirit that flows between us and every other human in the world, is not something that can be broken. However, our belief in the connection is constantly tested and repeatedly severed. When our belief that there's something greater than us, something that's rooted in love and compassion, breaks, we are more likely to retreat to our bunkers, to hate from afar, to tolerate bullshit, and to dehumanize others. Addressing this crisis will require a tremendous amount of courage. For the moment, most of us are either making the choice to protect ourselves from conflict, discomfort, and vulnerability by staying quiet, or picking sides, and in the process, adopting the behavior of the people with whom we passionately disagree. Either way, the choices we are making to protect our beliefs are leaving us disconnected, afraid, and lonely."
Nina Simone. Thank you.
Carl Sagan would put it, we are all made of scar stuff. Or as singer-songwriter Pete once said, we all bleed red, we all cry clear tears on the endless search for the meaning of life and love. Basically, we are all more the same than we are different. Tantric philosophy teaches that everything exists is one divine consciousness that longs to experience itself in different forms. Judaism and Christianity hint at reality and telling us that we each are made in the image of God, just like in our scripture reading for today. Unfortunately, it is in our human nature to sort of forget that truth, that every person, thought, and feeling experiences a perfect expression of one divine awareness. When a being does forget by feeling separate, less than, better than, so on, when it does forget, it suffers. The teachings say that one of our highest spiritual goals should be simply remembering who you are. By saying namaste, well, saying it while understanding what it fully means and meaning everything that it says, when you are saying that, you see others for what you actually are. Tantric teachings would say that it's an affirmation of the choice to identify with the God consciousness rather than with the ego, which tells us that we are somehow superior or inferior to any other person on this planet. It is also a conscious choice to take the spiritual perspective into the laboratory of life. Ask yourself, what would it be like if you saw others as perfectly whole? What if you saw yourself that way? What if others saw you that way? The Bhagavad Gita 6:29 puts it this way: the man whose self is disciplined in yoga, whose perception is the same everywhere, sees himself in all creatures and all creatures in himself. In his translation of the thousand-year-old tantric spiritual text called the Recognition Sutras, scholar Christopher Wallace described how this understanding might affect your approach to life, saying, once you become aware of the true nature of reality, everything you do becomes an act of reverence. Simply living your ordinary daily life with full awareness becomes a complete practice of meditation, a perfect form of worship, an offering to all beings and to being itself. Tantra teaches that because there is only one in the universe, all actions are in truth the divine exploring itself, reverencing itself, worshiping itself. Many people are familiar with the idea of Christ within. In Hinduism's premier holy text, the Bhagavad Gita, we have the Krishna within. And the Quran tells us that Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein. Even though many religious people know the idea that God is to be found within them, most folks seem to imagine that somehow it's only a small part of a divided piece of God that is inside them, or that all it means is that there is some aspect of God within us. However, other passages in the scripture of the world's religions also clearly state not only that God is indeed within us, but also that God is undivided, indivisible, always one. For instance, this idea is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verse 17, saying, although the super soul, which is code for God within, although the super soul appears to be divided, he is never divided. He is situated as one. French idealist and philosopher and Jesuit preacher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin put it this way. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Or C.S. Lewis once wrote, there are no ordinary people. You have never met or talked to a mere mortal. The reality is that it is somewhat surprising that more spiritual people don't live lives with this namaste perspective. As you've already heard, most spiritual practices have some form of it. Many cultures do as well. The Hawaiian greeting aloha has a very similar meaning. One interpretation of aloha means, I bow to you. The light within me honors the light within you. One of my favorites, which I've shared with you many times before, comes from the Zulu people in South Africa. Their greeting is Sawubona. Sawubona. The greeting is actually used by many people in the South and South Africa, not just the Zulus. Sawubona means, I see you. And the culturally appropriate response is Nihona, which means, I am here. Now, unfortunately, translating from one language to the other, as we talk about frequently, can lose some of the implied meaning. But integral in the Zulu greeting and response is the sense that until you saw me, I didn't exist. By recognizing me, you brought me into existence. A Zulu folk saying clarifies this saying, and I'll try not to just completely destroy the language. Umuntu nagabuntu nagabantu, meaning a person is a person because of other people. When I try to put all of this together, I end up with three key components of namaste. First, we all need to come to a place of understanding that we are made in the image and likeness of God, or this thing we call God, this God consciousness, and that our true essence, in one way or another, is divine. Or as Muhammad put it, whoever knows himself knows God. Second, we need to recognize that truth for each other. Not just some each others, but all others. And finally, and I would argue most importantly, we need to not only recognize that for ourselves and others, but we need to act accordingly. When we come from a consciousness of namaste, we want nothing less than to honor, to bless, to appreciate, to serve, and to love others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that when one suffers, we all suffer. Science has even begun to hint at this reality as well. The fact is that it may be much more than just theologically and philosophically sound, a philosophically sound perspective. It's beginning to look like it's also biologically sound as well. The phenomenon that I'm alluding to is called quantum entanglement. Basically, it seems to be suggesting that the entire universe is really a unified and inseparable oneness. Entanglement is the quantum mechanical property where if two photons occupy the same point in space at the same point in time, they become essentially a single unified whole. And further investigation revealed a phenomenon called non-locality. What they found was that two photons can actually influence one another instantaneously, even if they are both located at opposite ends of the universe. Though separated in space, they seem to have an instant communication with one another as if they were one single entity. It makes Carl Sagan's perspective that we are all star stuff all the more intriguing. The Big Bang singularity suggests that the entire universe occupied the same point in space before the Bang. And as we just heard, quantum entanglement tells us that when quantum particles occupy the same space, they become permanently entangled, able to impact each other without regard to space and time. So it's certainly possible that every single atom in the universe is entangled with every other atom. Logically, I have to deduce that even though it started with the Big Bang, expanded, distributed its matter across the universe, it also exists as a single, unified, and inseparable whole. 2020 Nobel laureate and black hole pioneer Roger Penrose even believes that all of this might just indicate one unified consciousness of the universe. We are all star stuff. We are all inextricably connected. The divine in me can see the divine in you. And that, my friends, kind of a long way to get to this, is why I actively and intentionally no longer celebrate Independence Day. I could not bring myself to celebrate my freedoms when the very government I would be celebrating is actively removing freedoms from others. We've seen this quite clearly this past week in the actions of the so-called Supreme Court, from basically making being unhoused illegal to making it illegal to making it legal to discriminate against LGBTQ plus folks, to setting the president above the law compared to all other people. Our nation is marginalizing group after group, creating a multi-level culture of privilege and lack thereof. Personally, I just can't celebrate freedom, the freedom of Independence Day, at least what it is meant to represent, knowing the reality of the nation asking me to celebrate it. Again, that's for me. You do you. I just wouldn't be able to look at those marginalized and say, Namaste, Aloha, Sawubona, I see you. We have a lot of work to do. And a namaste perspective, even with those whom we disagree, is exactly the kind of thing that could begin to heal our nation and the world. So I say to you, namaste, aloha, sawubona, I see you. Sadly, we seem to spend most of our time defining how others are not like us, implicitly regulating them to something that is less respectable, less correct, less worthy, less acceptable than us. We create the divisions based on false standards that we have created for ourselves without seeing that we created the standards in part to reinforce the divisions, and the maddening circle continues. We bracket out the teachings of Jesus telling us to love one another, even those we may consider enemies. We bracket out the words of prophets telling us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. We bracket out the reality that as spiritual descendants of Abraham, we are to be a blessing to the earth, not simply by our existence, but rather through our actions, through our inner actions, through our love. May we make a pledge, a promise, a covenant to work more diligently towards being the people we are called to be, the people we are created to be. May we be strengthened in our efforts. May we be encouraged in the difficult times. May we stand firmly as we stand together. May we see the divine in all people. May we be inspired towards a more loving way of life. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk with each other and with in harmony, and may you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. May you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
This is John Lennon's first political song that he wrote. It's on a